We are living in a time when God is going to begin to speak in ways that's going to amaze people. He's going to speak through those who you would not think that he would be speaking through. Because once again, I want to tell you that God is circumventing what man has set in place in order to control and manipulate. We are in a season now where God is saying, I will have my church and I will lead my people. And so that's where we're at. And that's what God is doing. Right. Amen. I want to read from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and this will not be the text that we stay in, but it fits and it speaks to what I want to share this morning. Hebrews 11, chapter 1, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Through that, he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he was dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world, he became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also there was born of one man of him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. The theme that God has given us for the year 2021, the year of hearing and obeying, hearing and obeying his voice. The year of hearing and obeying his voice. And I've been sharing over the last few weeks from the thought how to discern the voice of God, how to discern the voice of God. And last week I talked about you must be taught to discern or understand or hear the voice of God. I also have shared that learning to discern the voice of God takes time. Say time. It takes opportunity. Say opportunity. It takes expectation. And it takes experience. Learning to obey the voice of God takes faith, trust, courage, confidence. Again, learning to hear or discern the voice of God takes time. Come on, did you say it? Time, opportunity, expectation, experience, or experiences. Learning to obey the voice of God takes faith, trust, courage, and confidence. Yes, it does. Hallelujah. And so this morning, still working from that framework, I want to share this thought, and I want to share it from Genesis chapter 22, a lesson in hearing and obeying the voice of God. A lesson in hearing and obeying the voice of God. In Genesis 22, we see a place that Abraham has arrived in concerning his life and his walk with God. From the beginning in chapter 12, when God comes to Abraham, he comes to him and he offers him an opportunity. Not unlike you and I, God will continually come to you and I, and he will offer us opportunities to walk with him. I like to say that there are places in God that are by invitation only, but everybody is invited. Everybody is invited. Last week, we looked at a little bit of Abraham's journey. We looked at Abraham's journey of God speaking to him concerning an heir, but having to wrestle with, if you will, the thought that he was of age, Sarah was of age. But Abraham, for whatever reason, Abraham had in him this ability, if you will, to just trust God. So when God told him, leave your family and head out to a place which I will tell you, the scriptures don't say anything about Abraham wrestling with that. He just did it. And God spoke to him and said that you will have an heir. Now, because it was the custom and it was just the way it was supposed to be, Abraham wanted an heir to be able to pass on what he had and what God had blessed him with. And so when we look at that passage and we look at the journey, we see how that Sarah came to him and offered Hagar. And so Abraham had a son by Hagar named Ishmael. But in that, God said to him, no, Ishmael is not the heir that I'm talking about. Now, he is your son, but he's not the heir that I'm talking about. The heir that I'm talking about is going to come from you and from Sarah. Now, I'm going to take care of Ishmael because he's your son. Now, this is in the scripture. He says, I'm going to take care of him because he's your son, but my covenant is not with Ishmael. My covenant is with you, and my covenant will be with your son that you will have from Sarah. So God is very specific about this. And so we tracked that and we kind of looked at some of the time frames from when he had Ishmael to when he had Isaac. And it was about a 14-year period between that. It was 100 years old when he had Isaac. And now he has the promise. Now he has the fulfillment of the word that was given to him. He now has an heir. And then we get to chapter 22. And this is where it gets interesting in hearing and obeying the voice of God. It says this in verse 1. It says, now it came about after these things. Now, after these things, it means after all of the journey that we read up to this point. It says that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Now, just think about it for just a moment, because he has believed for an heir. He has an heir. And now God is saying, I want you to kill him. I want you to sacrifice him. I want you to offer him. Notice Abraham's response. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled this donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and went to the place of which God had told him. I want you to say unquestioned obedience. Come on, unquestioned obedience. God says, I want you to take the son that I promised you, the son that I said would be your heir, and I want you to offer him up. And Abraham says, okay. But I want you to think about it for a moment from a little. I believe that one of the things that we must be able to navigate through in our hearing and obeying the voice of God is that we're very careful with what we say. We're very careful with what we allow to come out of our mouth that may be part of the processing going on the inside. I have to believe that Abraham was not a stoic kind of non-emotional, detached individual. I believe that he was a father who loved his son dearly, was grateful to God for him, but now he's being told something that is diametrically opposed to what God said he was going to do. And in a hurt, excuse me, in our ability to hear God and obey God, often I believe there will be this internal kind of wrestling that's going on even while we're saying yes. I want you to know that it's okay, that even when you say yes, there still may be some things on the inside of you that are not settled. But you're still saying yes to his will, yes to his way. We sang a little earlier, let me be lost in your will, found in your grace, holding your hand, seeking your face. Let me be anchored in the safety of your secret place, lost in your will, found in your grace. I know you love me, and every plan you have for me is for my good. Your ways are much higher than I could ever imagine. So I've learned to put my trust in you, and I've learned to keep my eyes on you. I believe this is one of the places that we see right here with Abraham, that he now has been requested of God to do something that just doesn't make sense. I'm talking about a lesson in hearing and obeying his voice. Because you see, when God speaks to him, he says, I want you to go to the land of Moriah. Now, you have to know that the land of Moriah, from where Abraham was 3 days' journey. So there's 3 days of contemplating. There's 3 days of working through things in his mind in light of what God has said to him. It says, Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and he took two young men with him and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering. He arose and went to the place that which God had told him. Unquestioned obedience. Then it says, on the third day, say third day. See, in this process of hearing and obeying, there is time and there's patience. And we can hear a word from God, but time is often needed, and our patience is needed for that word to be fulfilled. It says, on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Saw the place from a distance. Now keep in mind, what he has heard from God is something that he's going to have to stay in a place of faith in order to even be obedient to do it. And so I want to say to all of us that when you're learning to hear and obey, you must continue to manage and discipline your faith while in the process. Because there's going to be times when it's not going to look the way that you thought it was supposed to look with what you heard, with what you heard, with what you heard. As I was reading through this and I was thinking about how that there was this 3-day journey, I can only imagine that how that the disciples that walked with Jesus struggled through a similar process when they put all of their lives on the line in order to walk with Jesus, only to see him on a cross. And in that moment, I believe they're now grappling with what Jesus said versus what they're seeing in front of them. Because the reality is, they really didn't understand what Jesus was talking about, or few of them really understood. And when you and I are in the place, as we are right now, when God wants to speak to us, it's really going to take us being in a place to posture ourselves, to give time to what we heard. God creates the opportunity. We must continue to have the expectation as to what God wants to bring to pass. And hear me now, you don't want to miss anything that's part of the experience on the way to the fulfillment of the word. One of the things that Pastor Nina said, she said, if you don't come out of this season stronger. When she said that, the first thought that came to my mind is, then you're focusing on the wrong thing. If you're not coming out of this season stronger, if you're not coming out of this season better for it, there's a good chance that you've been focusing on the wrong thing. And when we go through challenges, particularly because we've heard a word from God, the last thing you want to do is allow any challenges or what seems to be an affront to that word to shut you down, to shut your faith down, and cause you to acquiesce or to feel like, I don't want to go any further, or begin to doubt what you heard. And so Abraham, seeing the place, now listen to this, Abraham sees the place, and Abraham says to the young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return. Come on, say faith-filled words. Come on, say faith-filled words. Now, for those of you that aren't really joined to the house and you may be hearing this for the first time, let me give you our definition of faith-filled words. Faith-filled words are words that are spoken that are in line with the Word of God, or words spoken directly from the Word of God. They are positive words spoken with an expectation and anticipation, hear me now, that allows room for God to move as He wills. They are words that ring with confidence that God is able to work in any situation. Somebody just shout, any situation. Not some situations, in any situation, regardless of its complexity, unfavorable appearance, or predicted outcome. Faith-filled words are words of hope, joy, peace, love, and life. Those are faith-filled words. And Abraham in this moment, now you got to keep this in your mind. Now, they're walking 3 days to get to that spot. Daddy knows what the assignment is. But Isaac doesn't know, other than we're going to make a sacrifice. But what he doesn't know is he's the sacrifice. And I want to say to you, there's times when you and I are walking out our faith, and you're walking out a word that you heard from God, and sometimes those that are walking with you may not really be clear on what the assignment is or what God said to you. And sometimes the best thing you can do is just hold on to that word. I can imagine, here's a father who loves his son. I've got 4 sons and 1 daughter. And I can imagine, I can't imagine. I just know every time I think about it, I just start having some kind of feeling, Sean, where it's like, my God. I mean, if I was Abraham and I'm walking, I don't know what conversation to have. I don't know. You know, I can't do no small talk, because I'm saying what weighs in the balance here is in 3 days or however long it's going to take. He didn't know how long it's going to take to get to the location. It took 3 days. But somewhere in that, you know, so son, how you doing? Yeah, you know, the cattle are doing well, and you know God is faithful to us, and you know what, you know, what do you think about this weather? What do you think about it? You know, I mean, I would think, now this is me, I would think that Abraham's mind is consumed with the assignment. And I'm not sure, I'm just kind of Holy Spirit imagination as to what he's thinking about walking with his son, knowing what God is requiring of him. And sometimes in our hearing and obeying, again going back, you and I will grapple with what God has said all while we're walking it out, all while we're responding in obedience. I don't mind telling you that in our obedience to acquire this facility, I have had to manage thought processes as the word of God has been fulfilled and is being fulfilled. There are seasons in your life, seasons in my life, when you can, if you're not intentional, you can step back from something while even in the midst of what God has called you to do and wonder if you missed it.
Absolutely. That's right.
It's just a natural kind of thing for all of us. But he says to his men, he says, you stay here. He says, I and the lad will go further. We're going to go over there and we will worship and return. He had an expectation that no matter what jumps off here, God's going to do something because he promised me an heir. But the other thing that I want you to see here is Abraham was wise enough. Abraham was smart enough. He was sensitive enough to say, I can't take these guys with me with where we're about to go. Sometimes God will speak things to you, and in your obedience, you're going to have to maybe go a little further on your own. Some can only go so far with you. Some should only go so far with you. And so he says, you all need to stay here. We're going to go over here, but I and the lad are going to worship, and we're going to return. It's not unlike when we find in the book of Luke where Jesus now is coming to the place of about to be arrested on his way to Calvary, but he stops off in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. I love that the scripture says, as it was his custom. What custom are we talking about? Him getting alone, getting to himself, getting with the Father. And it's one thing that I want to encourage us on as well is, as you are leaning into hearing the voice of God and obeying the voice of God, one of the disciplines that will help you right now is learning to pull away and to separate yourself. Now, I will tell you, I, like so many others, have gotten so caught up in this digital world that we find ourselves in and the information overload, that I can be sitting watching TV, Pastor Val, with my computer on my lap and my iPhone sitting next to me. Now I know that you all don't do that, but Pastor Marisa will look at me like, you know, are you watching any of it really? You know, but you can be on information overload, and then there's times, hear me, when God will require, or if you're really going to hear him, that you need to separate yourself from those things. And as we are on the last day of the month, which was my focus of a focus time in this place of hearing and obeying. Now, we will continue on with it further. But I want to say to those of you, as we begin to step into February, carve out some time, some sit down time, some quiet time, whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the evening before you go to bed. That's just focus time for you and God. You see, the thing that kept Jesus focused is he kept his ear tuned to the Father. He walked in total obedience to the Father. And I believe when he was crowded, my people, he was crowded by information, he pulled away. That's what the scripture says. And I believe that it was when he stepped into that Garden of Gethsemane, you'll remember, just as Abraham says to his servants, I need you all to stay here. I and the lad are going to go a little further. Jesus says to his disciples, you all stay here. And it says he went further. Because hear me, there's some things that you will only hear once you have separated yourself. There are some things you will only hear once you separate yourself and get still before God. It goes on and says this: Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. It says, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Now, I love how it says that. So the two of them walked on together. So I want you to visually kind of see. They went so far, and now they're in the land where they're supposed to be. It's a three-day journey. But then they recognize the mountain where they're supposed to do the sacrifice. Abraham sees that and says, you guys stay here. I and the lad are going to keep going. So it says, so the two of them walked on together. Now listen to this. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? So there are many speculations about Isaac's age, but Isaac was old enough to know about burnt offerings. He was old enough to know that if you're going to have a sacrifice, you need to have a burnt offering. You need to have a lamb. You need to have some animal. And look what it says here. Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Again, faith-filled words. Abraham is remaining in a place of faith, even while I believe in his mind, I believe in his emotions, he still can't figure out how it's going to work out. As a matter of fact, one of the things in obeying God, talking about faith, is that in the walk of faith, in the walk of obedience, there are going to be times when you can't figure it out. You're not supposed to figure it out. We don't have all the answers. One of the things that has really impacted the church, the body of Christ right now, is because we came out of last year with everybody thinking they knew something. And we had prophets and prophetic voices saying a whole lot of different things. And then now we enter into this year, and it ain't looking a whole lot like what a lot of what was spoken in the name of the Lord. And so it's caused people, as it should, to doubt, did I really hear from God? Well, if you said God said and it didn't happen, then you got to own that. Sometimes God can say it, but we put our spin on it. Sometimes God can say it and we add an addendum to it. We put something on it that God never intended. In this place of hearing and obeying the voice of God, in this lesson that we see with Abraham, I believe he stays in a place where he is unrelenting in his faith. I have to believe, like any other father, that inside him somewhere he's saying, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know one thing. God said that Isaac is my heir, and from him would come my descendants. So I don't have to figure out how it's going to happen. I don't have to figure out how it's going to work. Now, I could surmise a few different ways this could go. But can I tell you this? Sometimes that spent energy doesn't do anything but wear you out, wear me out. What I mean by that is we are of this nature where we like to make uncertain things certain. We want to say we're a people of faith, Coco, but we want to make uncertain things certain. Meaning, I trust God as long as I know the details. I trust God as long as I know the bottom line. But the place that we find ourselves in this season, in light of some of the things that have transpired, particularly within this last year, is it's going to take you and I surrendering everything, laying everything down, and being willing to say, God, I don't know anything other than what you tell me. I don't know how this is going to go, but I will say this, I trust you, and I'm keeping my eyes on you. I'm lost in your will. I'm found in your grace. I'm holding your hand and I'm seeking your face. I'm anchored in the safety of your secret place. But God, I'm lost in your will. I'm found in your grace. That's the place where you and I want to be. I believe that's exactly where Abraham found himself. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And it says this, so the two of them walked on together. I like that because there was a pause right about there. Meaning they were walking and they stopped. Because I believe Isaac has some thoughts in his head like, well, what are we doing? Because, I mean, we've been gone 3 days now. We're almost there. But where's the lamb? Where's the offering? And I like the way it says, where it says that the two of them walked on together. It means they stopped. It means they stopped and they had a conversation. And I want to say to you, to all of us, it's okay to pause as long as you don't stop. It's okay to pause as long as you don't stop. It's okay to pause, contemplate, but don't doubt. I mean, there's nothing in this that gives any indication that when Isaac asked his dad, where is the burnt offering, that Abraham said, hold on a moment, let me think about it. God's going to provide himself an offering. I believe as soon as Isaac finished with his question, Abraham said, God will provide for himself a sacrifice. We good? We good. Let's keep going. Sometimes you need somebody in your world who can say, we good? Let's keep going. You see, his question, Isaac's question to his father, could have produced some doubt. It could have produced some feeling of concern. But I love the way it reads. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them walked on together. It says, then they came to the place which God had told him. Meaning, Abraham followed his voice. Abraham followed his voice. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son, Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord came to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. Abraham, in his obedience, is about to offer up his son. And the angel intervenes and says, stop right where you're at. Don't do anything. Just stop right there. And I love that because as Pastor Nina again was saying, listen, you got to remember what God said. You got to remember what God said. You see, we are only required to walk it to the degree of understanding what he said. And sometimes when things get challenging, the best thing you can do is go back to what did he say? What did he say? Now, there can be, if you will, the need to look at it more closely. Did he say it? But when you are sure that he said it, then that's the place that you remain in. That's the place that you stay in. Did he say it? What did he say? What did he say? And you walk in that conviction until he says something else. So the balance of it is not just what he said, but what is he saying? It's what he said and what is he saying? Because you see, if Abraham had not been sensitive to what God was saying, he would have killed Isaac. Because that's what he said. But in this season of hearing and obeying, now hear me now, for some of us, God's going to help you because you've walked out what he said, but now he's going to say something else. As a matter of fact, that's the place we want to posture ourselves in, to say, God, I'm walking out what you said. I'm walking out what you said. I want to hear what you're saying. Yes. And he may say, continue on. Right. He may say, nothing. Right. And if you don't hear anything, it just means continue with what he said. But I love in this passage, because what we see is Abraham's willingness to adjust, his willingness to adjust, a lesson in hearing and obeying the voice of God. You've got to be willing to adjust. You got to be flexible in this. You know, one of the things that has hurt the church, the body of Christ, is we've become rigid in our approach to things. We only want to hear a word a certain way. We believe that our worship should be only a certain way. And we have to recognize that in this season, God is circumventing all of that. And so we have to be open to what he said, as well as be open to what he's saying in this season. And then God says this to him. He says, for now I know that you fear God. My God. Now I know that you fear God. It was a test. And Abraham passed the test. He says, now I know that you fear God. To fear God, hear this, to fear God means to reverence him as sovereign, trust him implicitly, and obey him without question. That's to fear God. To reverence him as sovereign, trust him implicitly, and obey him without question. Proverbs 1 and 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He says to Abraham, now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. What he's saying is, the son that I promised you. Abraham stayed with the promise. He stayed with what God said. What has God promised you that you're yet waiting to see it be fulfilled? Do you want to hold on to that? And understand this, that faith does not demand explanations. Faith rests on his promises. Faith does not demand explanations. But it rests on his promises. See, Abraham found himself in another season of his life. In Genesis 12, God requires of him to leave his family. He has to sacrifice his past. He has to sacrifice the familiar. But in Genesis 22, now he must sacrifice his future, the promise of an heir, descendants. Is it possible, and the answer to this is yes, that God can come to you, require of you, that's something that makes you think that if you say yes to it, nothing else will happen in your life that God ever intended. Particularly if what he's asking you is something that's good and right in your life. But he's saying, I want that. I want you to give me that. And when God requires that of us, he gives us little, if any, ability to see the future. Why? Because this is about faith. It's a walk of faith. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to him must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Is it possible that you can be at one of the moments where you know it's God and he says, I want that. You know it's God and he says, I want them. I remember, and I've shared this before, how when I served as pastor of music, worship, and arts in Christ Emmanuel, under Bishop Michael and Pastor Carol Dantley. And God did some amazing things with all of us that were there. And one of the things that he blessed us to do was to record a live recording. That live recording for me was the culmination of a 36-day fast. And that night of worship was just that. It was an incredible, incredible night of worship. Because I had done other type recordings, and the night was so glorious, when I walked off the platform, Rondessa, I knew it was good. I knew that it was good. But the moment I walked off the platform, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "This season for you is over." As soon as I walked off the platform. And in my flesh and in my intellect and in my mind and in my emotions, I wanted to rebuke the devil. But I knew God's voice. I know God's voice. He said, "This season for you is over." And it started a journey for us, for my family and I, that moved us away for 2 years. And somehow, God sovereignly breathed on that project that even today, it is still blessing nations. But I was willing to let it go. I was willing to set it aside. Because one of the things that I did not realize until we were out of that environment is how much I allowed that environment to define who I was. Oh. I was so loved by what I did in worship and music and my ability to write music. And sometimes, hear me, you don't recognize what has attached itself to you, or you have attached yourself to, that now has taken place of your source, and your focus being God and God alone. And then you hear a word from God that says, "This season for you is over." But I thank God that I was in the place to be able to hear it and receive it. Abraham, over the years of his life. Now think about this, because you see, by the time he's offering up Isaac, we know he's over 100 years old. When God came to Abraham, he was how old? 75. So 75, 100, Isaac is born. There's a whole lot of different kind of thoughts out there as to how old Isaac was. Let's just say Isaac was 10 years old. Hypothetically, between 10 and 20 years old. Well, that means at the high end of 20 years old, that would have made Abraham walking with God 45 to 50 years. How many of you know if you've been walking with God 45 to 50 years, you ought to be able to hear something? Right. You should be able to hear something from God. But the thing that we see in this passage is a man who has settled himself in his obedience to God. It goes on and says this. Let me back up to Abraham. Abraham, he said to him, "Here am I." He said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." It says, "Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him," say behind him, yeah, "behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns." You see, there's something about this faith walk where provision will be there when you need it. Provision will be there when you need it. There is no indication that Abraham knew anything about an offering anywhere on that mountain. Now, what he did say to his son is, God will provide for himself an offering. And so those faith-filled words build a construct for something to happen. Your faith-filled words will create constructs for things to happen. As long as you remain in faith with what you've heard and you are responding in obedience to what he said. A ram caught in the thicket, but it was behind him, meaning he didn't see it till he needed it. He didn't see it till he had passed the test. And one of the things that I'm finding in this season, Pastor George spoke to it, is as we are stewarding resources and responsibilities here, we are managing and God is helping us to manage. And George has a gift in his ability. It's what his job pays him to do, to be able to strategize and to be able to project. And so he's sharing with us data that says, we need this to come in, we need this to come in. If this doesn't come in, this is a probability. But one of the things that I've learned, and I've said this to my board, is this: I can look at data and see the probability, but not necessarily accept it as the inevitability. And I've learned to be able to trust God in that way. Now, that makes some people nervous, and I understand that. I get that. But you know, the scripture says you must walk out your faith in fear and trembling. And so we learn to walk it out as God's intended us, and to come into places of agreement together. But one of the things I loved about what Pastor George said is he was able to see how God has shown up once again on our behalf, because we projected, and there was the projection of we're going to get here and we're going to have a shortfall, only for God to be working in the country, in the nation. And that's one of the things that I want us to understand, is God is not limited to your bank account. God is not limited to your employer. God is not limited to your retirement fund. God is not limited to your unemployment. God is not limited to your Social Security. God is not limited to any of those things. He can and will bring to you what he has for you when you need it. That's why Jesus spoke when he was speaking to them in Matthew 6, chapter 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He says, if God is our Father, you must know that if a human man will give good things to his children, how much more will God not give good things to you? Provision is available. And so I honor God and I praise God, because I'm watching him. I'm watching him. I'm watching him just be God. I'm watching him be sovereign. I'm watching him be the sovereign Lord. Abraham came to know him this way. A ram was caught in the thicket, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," Jehovah Jireh. Yes. Pastor Nina said Jehovah Jireh. Pastor George said Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. He is our provider. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. As I close out our time, it says this: then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord." I love that. He says, "By myself." Hallelujah. By myself. Meaning, I ain't nobody else around. By myself. By myself I have sworn. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're good. By myself, I have sworn. Need nobody else. By myself, I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. A lesson in hearing and obeying his voice. I want to pray.